Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
Chapter 11 of the book of Luke, it begins by saying, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, one thing we learn, Jesus was a praying person. If our Lord was, so should we be. And that's what the disciples said. Teach us to pray. Now, that doesn't mean he'd never prayed before. He wanted to learn more. And so, we are supposed to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind also be in you, which was also in Christ. We need to have the mind of Christ. What was it? A mind of prayer. How is our prayer life? And I would freely admit, I do pray every day, yes. Not just for meals. But it still could improve. I think that's the way with most people. Our prayer lives could improve and should improve. Jesus was a praying person. He believed in prayer. But brethren, we have so much to be thankful for, but we must pray. Not take it for granted. Not take for granted our health. If you have good health, don't take it for granted. It will always be that way. Pray to God. If you're suffering, pray to God. But now keep in mind, God does not remove every obstacle in life. Sometimes He does. He may remove a particular problem that we have, but sometimes He just simply helps us to deal with it, to overcome it, to rise above the problem. But brethren, we need to be praying people because prayer works. Brethren, prayer works. We need to pray. But brethren, once we pray, we have to go into action. God will do His part. We can count on it. God always does His part. And we need to understand that God has never, nor will He ever fail us. But once we pray, we need to do our part. Now let's learn some things that He says here. And He said unto them, of course, talking about Jesus, "When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven." We pray through Jesus, but we're praying through the Father. Jesus teaches them that right here. We pray to the Father, not to Jesus. Now He goes on to say, "Hallowed be Thy name." Now, talking about God, His name, hallowed, reverend, holy and reverend is His name. We read in Psalms. And His name is to be hallowed. Holy and reverend is His name. How do we use God's name? Boy, you hear a lot of songs and Lord this and Lord that, and they're not even talking about Jesus. They have no respect for God or the Father. We need to make sure how we use our words, and especially in reverence to God. And He's not the big man upstairs. He's our Father, which is in heaven. And He is one that we pray to. He is one that is in control. We need to be careful how we address our Father in heaven. And we need to make sure that we do it in a manner that is reverent, that is deserving to come to God. Just think for a moment. God allows us to come before Him in prayer. Brethren, that is granted to and only to Christians. But what a special privilege God has given us. We need to make sure that we're using that privilege that God has given us. He will only grant Christians to come before His throne. But just think, we prayed just a moment ago, Robert led the prayer on our behalf. But we, brethren, got to go before the throne of God with our petitions and to thank our God. What a special blessing that God has given to us. Hallowed be Thy name. Now here's a very important thing. It says, and He's teaching them to pray, Thy kingdom come. And some still pray that. Brother, we don't pray that part anymore. Why? Because the kingdom has already come. Acts chapter 2, the church was established. And you see, prior to Acts 2, pointing to the kingdom coming, you see from Acts 2 on that the kingdom has already come. But now here's something that we need to take into consideration about our prayers. When we pray, we shouldn't pray for the kingdom to come because it's already here, the Lord's church, the church of Christ. But now we should be praying for the church. Any amens to that we should pray for the church? But now, once we pray for the church, and I mentioned, I didn't call them by name, that wouldn't be really fair to do, and of course that list is rather long. Once we pray, God let the church at Chalmette grow. God help our young people. God, we need to spread the gospel all throughout that entire world. That's great. That's what we need to do. But once we do that, we need to make sure we go out beyond these doors and do exactly what we ask God to help us to do. And to take the gospel into all the world. God help us. Don't just pray a good prayer. Don't just talk a good talk. Go out and live what you pray. Go out and live what you said. Be not just hearers of the word, but be ye doers of the word. Do what you pray. So we don't pray that the kingdom come. Now, some will still go back to this passage and see, Jesus taught them to pray for the kingdom to come. But we are to pray, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Now, He says, give us day by day our daily bread. Now, we pray usually at meal times. I hope that you pray before you eat, because God has granted you that. Do we take those things for granted? That our refrigerator is going to be full of food, that our cabinets are going to be full of food, that the freezer is going to have plenty of food. If we need something, all we do is get in our automobile and drive to the store and pick it up. Are we taking those things for granted? We need to ask God that He supplies those things. We need to understand who gives us our daily bread. We need to pray for it and not take it for granted, because God has blessed us with this special privilege that we have. He provides our daily needs. In verse 4 He says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now, are we willing to forgive others? Boy, you cross me and that'll be the end of it. If that's our mentality, don't pray and ask God to forgive you, because He will not. Because God says we must be willing to forgive others, not hold grudges. Not say, well, you did this to me, and no, if it's been repented of, if it's been taken care of, that should be the end of it. It should go no further. But if we hold grudges in our mind, and actually even against somebody that doesn't repent, we should not seek vengeance. Vengeance will belong to God. He will repay. Somebody that doesn't repent of something, believe me, believe God. He will deal with that on the day of judgment. That will be taken care of, not us. But we need to be a forgiving people. But brethren, we need to understand that's what we need to do, is be forgiven. But we must ask. God knows every need that we have. Of course He does. He wants us to understand the need. That it's not there just to be taken lightly, not to be taken for granted. And that we must be willing to forgive other people. I mentioned some that have fallen away. Hopefully they'll be here tonight. If they do repent on some occasion, rather, we need to be willing to forgive. We need to be willing to say, well, you did this, but that's the old man. What happened when we were baptized? We buried the old man of sin. We were raised new creatures, the new birth. We were born again. And sometimes as children of God, we still fall short. So we must be willing to forgive each other. And brethren, that's a commandment of God, not a request. But now He also says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How often do we pray that God will help us face whatever temptation that we're going to meet this particular day? Because Satan is going to challenge you. Satan is going to put the opportunity there for you. Count on it. Mark it down. Did you pray? Did I pray? God, when it comes, help me be strong enough to resist that temptation that is there. Because without Your help, Father, I will not be strong enough. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you don't bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to put you in the fiery furnace. You do whatever you think you have to do. We're still going to pray to our God. They did not decide that at that moment. They had already had convictions that were strong. And they had already prayed, when that temptation comes, we will not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, nor any other false god, nor any other man, but we will worship the God of heaven. And so therefore, when the temptation came, well, you can bow down and you can still live. they said we'd rather die than to bow down to a false god and some image. But they had to be ready beforehand. Not wait till it got there. Not wait till it came before them and say, uh-oh, what am I going to do? I've got to make a decision. You better know before you leave your house what you're going to do when temptation comes. And you better know in your house. Because when you come on that computer, some things come up, shouldn't be there. Temptation. What are you going to do? You turn on the TV. You're not trying to do anything wrong. You just want to maybe relax for a little bit. But sometimes temptation will come. Something comes up, shouldn't be watching. What are you going to do? You need to pray that God will keep you strong and that God will help you to withstand that temptation. Brethren, we need God's help. But the good news is God's help is available. God's help is there. Take advantage of it. God wants to help us. God wants us in heaven. And brethren, that's where I want to be. We have sung songs of praise unto our God in just a few minutes. Just a few minutes ago, we partook of the Lord's Supper. We made a remembrance of our Lord's death, His burial, and His resurrection. But we also keep in mind that He is coming again. And when He comes again, when that trumpet sounds and the clouds are rolled back and our Lord appears, I want to be ready to see Him, don't you? I look forward to that day that we can be with our Lord. I'm so glad that I can pray to the Father in heaven now that He has granted us this petition. Now verse 5 says, "And He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise to give him because of he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Notice this now. "And I say unto you," Jesus is, what is He doing? He's teaching them. He's teaching them to pray. That was the question that one of the disciples asked. He's teaching them. "I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you." Now, have you asked? You have certain needs. It may be physical. It may be dealing with temptation. It may be with a brother in Christ. It may be with somebody at work that you have to deal with. The list could go on and on and on, and maybe there's more than one thing on the list. Have you asked? Because Jesus said in His teaching, He said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you." So we have to make sure that we ask. "I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you." But now He doesn't stop there, and neither should we. He says, "Seek, and you shall find." All right, Father, please help me. Father, I need to take care of my family. Well, now go seek. Do your part. You've prayed to God. He will do His part. But now we must go seek and we shall find. How do we know that? Jesus promised us that. God promised us that. That if we will seek, we will find. Not everything that we would like to have in life, but everything that we will need in life is guaranteed if we will put the kingdom first. Now, if we put something else first, our prayers are in vain. If there's anything that is before God and God is taking place or somewhere else, don't ask until you put God first. Correct the problem and then ask God. But He says, "Seek and you shall find." Now He says something else, "Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Go out. Sometimes there's opportunities there, but you've got to go look for them. Don't wait for them to come to you and, well, if it happens, then it'll be okay. But go out and look. Seek. Knock. He says, "And it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth." If you ask the Father for something you need, He's going to help you. But now remember what I said earlier. Sometimes He does not remove the problem. Sometimes He helps us to deal with the problem. It may still be there, but with God's help, we can overcome it. And we can deal with it. And there is no problem that is too big for God. No problem. So we need to ask God. He says, everyone asketh, receives, and he that seeketh, findeth. But what if you don't seek? What if you ask? That's good. But what if you don't seek? He says, you don't find. He says, you don't seek, you're not going to find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. What if we don't knock? We're not going to receive those things. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? You know, a father that loves his child, he's not going to treat him that way. He's going to take care of him. He says, or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give them, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask Him? Brethren, if we, being human with all our frailties, as parents, know how to take care of our children and love them and provide them, how much more does our God, our Father in heaven, know how to take care of us? He can. He will. But He says, you seek, you knock, you ask. You must do those things, and God will be there with you. But now, without reading all the texts, look at verse 28. He says, but He said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Not those that hear and walk away. Some do that. Some hear the word and obey. But the ground, it's got a little dirt on top. You plant the seed and it comes up. But those roots hit that hard rock. Plant dies. Doesn't do any good. Well, sometimes we need to remove the rocks from the soil, and the soil is us. We need to cultivate that ground to where the Word of God, the seed, will grow. Are you a Christian? If you're not, you need to repent of your sins and be baptized so that the Lord will add you to the church. If you are a child of God, but there's sin in your life, lukewarmness, whatever it may be, forsaking the assembly of the saints together, your speech, whatever it may be willing to correct it. Heaven is too great to miss.